morning, everyone, and welcome into Grace and Truth. I'm David Sears, and I am joined today by the head reverend of Long Memorial United Methodist Church here in Cordova, Reverend Elizabeth Crosby. Good morning, Reverend.
Hey, good morning, David.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to this podcast. It's an idea we've had brewing for quite a while, and we decided, you know what? It's the new year. Let's get something going. So Reverend Crosby has amazing sermons that she brings to the pulpit every Sunday, and I thought, why not share them with the world?
Yeah, and I appreciate your encouragement and idea to do this, and I look forward to seeing where it goes, what God has for us.
Awesome. So what are we going to talk about today?
So we are going to look at the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and just have a word for us on this Epiphany Day, which is January 6th, but also a word as we enter a new year.
It is. Epiphany, of course, is when Jesus was shown to be the child.
Yeah, so the Epiphany is when we say that the Magi arrived and found Jesus.
Yes. So for fun fact, I was doing a little research into Epiphany, not even knowing we're going to talk about it today. But Epiphany was anywhere from 18 months to 2 years after Jesus's birth. And it is celebrated because the wise men warn Mary, Joseph, and Jesus that Herod is trying to kill everyone in the area that is under 2 years, every firstborn male that is under 2 years, and it leads to them fleeing into Egypt. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So a lot of times, especially in our American culture, we kind of make the Christmas story done at a fast pace where the Magi all show up and find Jesus the day he was born, even though that probably was definitely not accurate. It was closer to anywhere from weeks to 2 years after Jesus was born. But
awesome. Well, let's get going, Reverend. Let's learn about the Lord.
Yeah, let's go. So our scripture will come from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, and I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I have said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is the only Son, himself God, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." May God add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of this text. So as of today, we are a few days into 2026, and with a new year for most comes a clean state. We get energized, we set goals, we make resolutions. Maybe some of you have even made a New Year's resolution. Although if you're like the congregation within my church, you have not set a New Year's resolution, because I personally think that maybe these are a bit of a dying fad, and that's okay, but there are some new trends coming about. Maybe you've heard of the New Year bingo card. I think this is pretty fun.
What is a New Year bingo card?
So a bingo card is basically like you make a bingo card, and inside each box, you set goals or things that you want to do in the new year. And as you do them, you cross them off like you're playing bingo, and maybe you'll get a blackout. Maybe you'll hit bingo, but it's a little bit less pressure than a full-on New Year's resolution.
That's cool and creative.
Yeah, it is cool.
Is that a TikTok trend?
Probably. I would imagine it's definitely taken off on TikTok. I don't know if it originated there, but it's fun. But no matter how you take on the new year, I do want to offer a challenge to you. And I've offered this challenge to my church as well. And that's to be all in for 2026. And what I mean by that is to fully trust God and give God 1 year of your entire life. For 1 year, commit to reading your Bible and praying daily, attending church as often as you can, serving whenever possible, and tithing. And I hope that you will consider taking on this challenge, whether it's with us here at Long Memorial United Methodist Church or at your own local church, or I hope that you will find a church near you to take part in this challenge with, because I believe if you do this, you'll finish this year with no regrets. You might look back at this year, and you might not see that it was the easiest year of your life, but it will be blessed, and you will see the hand of God at work.
When you say read the Bible daily, do you have any suggestions on how for someone to do that? As someone who, let's say, they've just become a Christian, they want to start doing a Bible study per se, but does that mean I just read the Bible? How do you do a Bible study daily?
So if I would recommend that if you were a new Christian or someone that was kind of new to read in the Bible, to start with the four Gospels and maybe particularly start with the Gospel of Luke and just read a chapter a day and journey through that and read through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. But if you're looking for something a little bit more in depth, you've read through the Gospels and you're like, I want to read through the whole Bible, I would recommend the Bible Recap resource. And you can look that up by Googling it. And they actually have a plan, a 365-day plan, and it will take you through the whole Bible chronologically. And you'll read about 3 to 4 chapters each day. There's podcasts that go with it. They have books and stuff that go with it, but that's a good resource to journey through studying the Bible.
BibleRecap.com?
Yes, I believe so.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's good. But while we're on this topic of New Year's resolutions, David, have you ever wondered why we do them in the first place?
I have wondered. I know a lot of people like to go back to, was it Caesar added January and February to the calendar, making October, which was supposed to be the 8th month, November, which was supposed to be the 9th month, and December, which was supposed to be the 10th month, pushed back. And it's kind of like a resetting that we're supposed to do as we get ready for the new year, new you. Is that kind of what it started out as?
I think so. I'm not really going to get into the history of it. I didn't look at that, but I did read this article. It was pretty interesting. It was by a psychologist, I think, and they were talking about how people like New Year's resolutions because it gives us this illusion of certainty. And because we sometimes, for some people, myself included, I like to be in control. Are you a control freak?
Not as much as I used to be. I used to be very have to have everything my way, have to do it every way. There's still some things I have to have done my way, but I've gotten better as I've gotten older and loosening my grip on the control I used to have.
Yeah, I get that. And maybe I can learn some of that from you. I definitely have gotten a little bit better as I've gotten older, but I like to be in control. And with New Year's resolutions, it gives us this idea that we're in control. We get this clear vision. We have a clear plan. All we have to do is just execute it. But it's usually not as simple as that, because life rarely adheres to our best laid plans.
That's very true.
It is true.
Was it, what's the Mice and Men quote? I forget. It's an old Scottish poem that became the book, the title of the book. That's so depressing about the depression. But the best laid plans of mice and men, I forget the complete quote, forgive me there. But yeah, we all have these grand ideas that if I can just lose 50 pounds, or if I just start going to the gym or start reading 20 books a day, we'll be so much better.
Yeah, but it things come up, things happen.
Life happens.
Life does happen. But does that mean, do you think that we should just get rid of plans and goals in general?
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think we need things to work towards, but simply having that plan and goal is not enough. We need more than this because inevitably things will happen, good and bad. Things will happen that we don't plan for or expect. So the question is, what will keep us going when we hit a bump on the road? What will keep us grounded when life tries to shake us up? What will keep us heading towards the goal when the storms of life arise? And I think the simple answer to that is Jesus. There's a contemporary song that I like. It's called Build My Life. And it says, you know, we got to build our life on Jesus. Jesus is the only thing that can keep us anchored when we hit a bump in the road or when life tries to shake us up. Jesus is a firm foundation. And it's from this perspective that we can step into a new year. It's from this perspective that we can work towards goals and put into practice new rhythms in our lives. We can step confidently into a new year, not because we know what it will hold, but because we know who holds us. Just as we celebrated at Christmas, we know that in the words of John Wesley, best of all, God is with us. We know that even if we can't see our future, we can see the light, which we know is Jesus. And the light will guide our way, and there is no amount of darkness that could ever put it out. And these are the truths that I want us to be reminded of this morning, and they're truths that I believe that we are reminded of in our scripture texts. Our scripture comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And this theologically rich text is a poetic introduction to the person and the nature of Jesus Christ. And there's so many ways that we could talk about this text, but today I want us to key in on the purpose of the text. The gospel writer John wrote this text to be the prologue to the entire gospel. And I think we both know that every good book has a prologue, and it gives us background information. It gives us context for the story. Sometimes there's even an element of foreshadowing. And this is exactly what John does in this text. John introduces Jesus by calling him the Word, pointing us to the fact that Jesus is the message or the Word of God. And he goes on to say that the Word became flesh and lived among us. And John makes a point for us to know that Jesus has always existed and that Jesus has always been God. There is nothing that exists apart from Jesus. Jesus also introduces Jesus as life and light. He says that the light, being Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. And it's these truths about Jesus that are essential for John, and they come up again and again throughout John's gospel as he tells the stories of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. The gospel writer John has a really high Christology, meaning more than any other gospel, he emphasizes Jesus' divine nature. And some people say that because of this, that he makes Jesus not personal or out of touch. But I disagree. I think John does a wonderful job of making Jesus personal for us. He wanted us to know that in Jesus, God came to be with us. Multiple times in his gospel, he refers to an unnamed disciple, just calling him the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I love this because I personally believe that part of the reason that John does this is so that we could insert ourselves into the story, because we are all the disciple whom Jesus loved. And in doing this, we are reminded that God is with us. John talks about light several times throughout his gospel. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus declares that he is the light of the world. And there's also some foreshadowing here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. We know that Jesus, the Christ child, God in flesh, would grow up to become a man who was betrayed, beaten, and killed. But we also know the end of the story. The darkness of this world did not overtake Jesus. Jesus rose from the dead and defeated sin and darkness. This text, before I lose you here, just the reason that I bring all this up is because in this text that is the prologue to John's gospel, it is something that all of these themes set the stage for the rest of the book. But I point all of this out because what if this became the prologue for our year? What if this became the prologue for our life? What if these truths about Jesus set the stage for us in 2026? What if they were the foundation of our life? And as I sit here, I don't know what the year holds for you or for me or for any of us, but I do know this. We can step confidently into a new year, not because we know what it will hold, but because we know who holds us. We are held by God, who promises to never leave us alone. We are held by Jesus, who is light that shines on even the darkest of nights. And as I mentioned earlier, as we talked about today, in our according to our liturgical calendar, it's Epiphany, January 6th. And today we remember, we honor, we celebrate the Magi who found baby Jesus. And the Magi found baby Jesus because they followed a star. They followed light. They didn't know exactly where he was or all the details. They just followed light with only a minor detour to talk to King Herod. But we all get sidetracked every now and again, right? Just like the Magi, we don't know all the details of the next year either. But we can be reminded today that we have a light to follow as well. And so I hope that as you enter 2026, that you will follow that light, that you'll be all in, that you'll commit to reading your Bible and praying daily, that you will attend church as often as you can, that you'll serve whenever possible, and you'll give through your tithes and offering. And I wish you well on any goals or hopes that you have for the new year. But when that moment comes, because it will, and life just lives, it doesn't adhere to our best laid plans, when there seems to be more darkness than light, remember that you don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to know the final outcome. Just follow the light. But if it's okay, let me end real quick by sharing a quick story with you to leave with you. So there's a story of a young boy and his mom, and they lived out in the country. They lived on a big piece of land with a barn in their house. And one night, the mom asked the little boy to go to the barn and to get something out. And so he opened the door to go outside, and he looked out, and it was pitch black dark. And so he went back inside, and he told his mom, he's like, I can't go to the barn. I can't even see it. It's so dark outside. And so the mom gave him a flashlight, and he went back outside. He opened the door. He turned on the flashlight, and he lifted it up to shine it towards the barn. But the barn was so far away, and the flashlight seemed so small, he still could not see the barn. And so he went back inside, and he told his mom, he said, I can't see the barn with the flashlight. I just have a little piece of light. And she said, all you need is a little piece of light. Just take the next faithful step. Just look and follow the light and follow the light and keep following the light. And eventually you will get to where you're going. And so the little boy did just that. He went outside, he turned on the flashlight, and he just shined it down towards his feet. And he took step by step by step until he finally got to the barn. And I believe that that story holds some encouragement and truth and wisdom for us, because we don't have to see the end. We don't have to know it all. We just have to follow the light and take the next faithful step. Amen.
Amen. Reverend Crosby, bringing the heat here on this Epiphany, Day of Epiphany, not just Epiphany, it's the Day of Epiphany. Reverend Crosby, if they wanted to follow you on social media or follow Long Memorial on social media, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so if you want to follow Long Memorial on social media, on Facebook, you can just look up Long Memorial United Methodist Church. Or if you want to follow us on Instagram, you can look up LMUMC underscore Cordova, C-O-R-D-O-V-A. You can also follow us on TikTok. We have a pretty active church TikTok account. Just look up lmumc.cordova. If you would like to follow me personally, you can look me up on Facebook as Elizabeth Crosby. You can also follow me on Instagram by looking up EA Crosby, CROSBY2. And those are ways that you can connect and follow along.
Well, there you go. Reverend Crosby, it has been a delight. Thank you for joining us for the first of many episodes of Truth and Grace Podcast. This will be distributed on all major platforms, so we'll be able to put it up there. It'll be up hopefully this evening, time allowing between all the other craziness I have, but hopefully at the latest it'll be up tomorrow. But Reverend Crosby, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you for joining us on our first episode of Truth and Grace.
Amen. Thank you, David.